Our NHL insider is Elliot Friedman.
Some of the boys in the back, I went to grab coffee.
Yeah.
Boys are hurt.
Yeah. Boys are still up. That's what's happening.
Oh, I
know.
We're at Cowboys Casino this morning, Elliot. It's we got a really big station event today. It's kind of like the Amazing Race. We've got teams of eight. There's 20 teams. They've each got their own vehicle. They're going around the city and doing different adventures, obviously, money raised for kids' sport. And we're at, obviously, Cowboys, the nightclub, and there are staff that have been here since, eight last night? You know?
I don't know. Eight might be.
They worked. It was 75-cent draft night for students last night.
Elliot would be right in there.
And now they're here setting up for us. So we feel somewhat guilty.
They're very grim.
I would be, too.
Have you ever met Kelly Kirsch?
I don't know if we've. I think we've met once or twice before.
Yeah, well, you'd probably remember. It's a treat. Next time he's in Toronto, I'll make sure to hook you guys up. You guys would have a heck of a time.
Oh, it's always fun.
Yeah, you guys would have a blast. He's a riot. Hey,
Pig Rider fan.
Almost sounds serious.
Is it? Are we right? Because again, we live in the moment and we react, often overreact to what is fresh in our minds. So there is a lot of talk about. The Caps need to trade Alexander Ovechkin. Is that completely ridiculous, or at this point, is there something to it?
I think, first of all, I don't think you can answer that right now because you're in the aftermath of a devastating defeat. Not only did you lose, but it's how you lost. So I think everybody's everybody's at a low point, and people come up with, the hot takery and the craziness. I would be surprised though, Dean, if they didn't at least when they get together as an organization, ask the question, is it time? And the reason that I would suggest that they might consider doing that is that, he just had one of his worst 5-on-5 seasons. And I think as an organization, you have to sit down there and you have to say, what does this mean? Does it mean he had an off year and we're going to be fine? Or is this the start of a decline? And no organization knows Alexander Ovechkin better than the Washington Capitals. And I think you ask yourself those questions. Now, the two biggest reasons I could see why they're not trading him, and they're two very good reasons. Number one is he sells out your building. He's your number one attraction. His jerseys sell more than everybody else. And in a market like Washington, that's important. Just about any market, that's important. But, Wayne Gretzky was traded. Anybody can be traded, but that is a factor. The second thing is that, they haven't gone far with Ovechkin as their number one player, but they're always in the playoffs. And as we know now, it is really hard in this league to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And if you take Alexander Ovechkin out of your lineup, are you hurting yourself enough offensively, even with all the other great players you have, that it's going to be, you might say, how much tougher is it going to be for us to make the playoffs? I think if I was running the hockey department there, that's the question I would be asking. If we take his 30 to 50 goals out of our lineup every year, do we miss the playoffs?
Let me ask you this, because I was thinking about the whole thing. So if you're not going to trade him, and I don't think that they're going to, what are the other routines? Well, we'll take the captaincy off of his chest, that sort of thing.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
You can't, because who else, honestly, and maybe that's part of it, who else is leadership quality? If not him, then who on that team?
I'll tell you this. Mike Milbury has a theory that the captaincy in hockey is overrated and you create more problems than you solve with it. And this is an example of what he's talking about. I have really believed this, that if you're a good leader, you don't need a letter on your jersey to prove it, okay? You just go to work every day, you do the job, you perform, you're always prepared, you say what needs to be said when it needs to be said, and that's it. And you can still, Joe Thornton is no longer the captain in San Jose. Does anybody believe that he's not a force in that room? You can be a captain without being the captain. So what you can do is you can just say, Alex, you leave the captaincy on him because you don't want the aggravation of it not being there. But you just say, some of you other guys, whether it's Backstrom, whether it's Carlson, whether it's Niskanen, whoever it is, we just need you to take a bit more of a role. That's it. And yeah. and that's what you do. I mean, look, like Troy Brower, when he was there in Washington, he could be really hard on the guys on that team, including Ovechkin. He wasn't wearing a letter, or it wasn't the C. You know, like, it doesn't matter. I think don't take the C off because you're just causing a lot more problems. But you can say, Alex, we're shifting the leadership here a bit.
I don't disagree with what most of you said, but I don't think it's as simple as saying, Alex, we're going to shift, and the other guys, you need to lead. I would think it is like you said. They should be leading anyway, and it should be recognized that, well, it doesn't matter if I have a letter on my jersey or if Ovechkin's a captain or if there is no captain. If those guys don't already know that.
They might be. I just was saying that. Like, it might already be the case there. I suspect it would be.
For me, with Ovechkin, though, it's more comes back to trots.
Yeah.
You can't keep changing your coaches. Well, you can, but it rarely works out. And and just by, I'm telling you, nothing other than gut instincts, watching Trotz' face and his reactions and all that stuff, I feel like he's at the tipping point with Ovechkin. It's like, I can't do this. I can't get him to do what we need him to do. I just feel like that, I think that's playing out, and has to play out a little bit here too, where the coach at some point has to have a say.
Well, you know, I think the coach did have a say in the second round, right? And that, you know, I think that's fair. That's another question to ask here. If you look in 2012, when they went to the second round, Game 7, lost to the Rangers, Dale Hunter was the coach, and Alex Ovechkin was not playing a lot of five-on-five minutes. And look what happened in Games 5 and 6, which were Washington's two best games of the series. Alex Ovechkin was 8th and 7th on ice time among their forwards at 5-on-5. So maybe that's where we're going here. Maybe that's the conversation. Alex, you're not a 5-on-5 guy anymore. You're going to be a third-letter 5-on-5, but you'll play the 2 minutes of every power play. Maybe that's what we're looking at here. Maybe that we're looking at a role change.
But does it get to a point then with Ovechkin where he says, you know what, that's all fine and good for you, but not for me. I'm ready to move.
Well, then I think it depends on if that's the case, and that's an if, right? And it could happen. Then I think you're saying, all right, do you want to play in Washington and win a Stanley Cup here, or do you want to go somewhere else?
That's the other thing no one's brought up is, you know, Washington's appetite to keep Ovechkin. What's his appetite to stay in Washington?
I feel like he's fed up there.
Well, I don't know about that. Like, I'll tell you this. He does like it there. Like, and now, I will say this. I don't travel as much as I used to, so if something's changed there, I'm not aware of it. But in all the years where I was doing a lot of Washington series, he loved it there. He never had a bad word to say about it. And he has said on record many times, he did it last year at the World Cup. He said, why would I want to leave? I love it here, and I want to win a Stanley Cup here. And, you know, with the KHL, it's come up a million times. He's been steadfast in it. He's making a lot of money there. I do believe Alexander Ovechkin would love to win the Stanley Cup and raise it as the captain of the Washington Capitals. Now, if and we're going in a lot of different directions here, but if it's actually the time where they say to him, Alex, we have to talk about a role change or else, maybe that changes. But I have never had any reason to believe anything but he wants to be the captain of the Washington Capitals and win it there.
Now, so did Jerome.
But you're right, and it eventually did change. Maybe we're at that point, but only Ovechkin and the Capitals can understand that. I'll tell you this, though. If I was the NHL and there was a chance he could get traded, I'm doing everything I can to get him into Las Vegas.
Exactly. I was just going to say, his old GM's there. You've already got a bit of a pipeline that they can get some Russian talent there. Those guys seem to collect because, you know, it's a long way from home, and it's good to have people that, you know, speak the language. You can be buddies with and all that. I think it's a fascinating element.
And it's one of your biggest stars on a big
Exactly.
stage.
And we talked about it. Vegas is a place where you need a big draw. You need a headliner. I don't know that, you know, Ricard Raquel or, you know, like a Marco Scandella is on a poster does anything in Vegas. Ovechkin moves the needle.
Oh, he doesn't move it. He knocks it over.
So what does a deal like this look like if it was going to happen?
Can you compare it to one?
Like I saw,
we've seen Sagan and Thornton.
Yeah. Now we've.
Well, you know what? Like for one thing, like he's owed $40 million over the next 4 years, right? It's $10 million a year the next 4 years. So, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, Vegas doesn't have a lot of assets. So, what are you asking for?
That's the stumbling block.
If you were Vegas, would you give up the sixth overall pick for Alexander Ovechkin?
This year, yeah.
Yeah.
I might too.
I would.
And you know what? We've talked about it a lot. I feel like Ovechkin is truly one of those guys with watching Kuznetsov continue to emerge. You know that Backstrom is the guy. If you could get a good pick and a young blue liner, which I think Vegas is going to get by way of the expansion draft, and you're going to have cap savings, it's hard to see it, but it would work for the Washington Capitals. It could make sense between cap savings and adding to your roster.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sold. I'm good with it. Like,
all right, you know, call Gary.
I think, but this comes down to this. I think if you're Washington, I you know, the other thing too is he's really slowed down a bit. That's what a couple people really noticed. And I was saying in my Toronto hit this morning that I was talking to somebody yesterday around the league about Joe Thornton. And Joe Thornton is not the fastest guy in the league and he's still a dominant player. And the debate we kind of had was, does it matter if you carry the puck all the time? Thornton's carrying the puck so he can slow down the game. Ovechkin's not carrying the puck all the time. He's going to his spot and he's waiting for you to get it to him. The fact that he's slowing down, does that change it too?
I'm telling you, it is so reminiscent of Jerome here. It's the exact same.
Yeah.
It's the exact same scenario. Jerome was slowing down. He could still shoot the puck. He could get to that spot. But everyone knew that's the only place he was going to go. And again, it's not a criticism or a slight. It's just the way it went down. And they waited too long as far as a franchise.
Got nothing.
And got nothing in return, which is fine. If you're the owner and you say he still sells tickets, he still puts people in the stands and jerseys and all that, that's a decision only they can make. But as far as production, boy, it sure looks like the same curvature.
Now, the only difference, and I understand all that, the only difference is Calgary was not a contender and Washington is.
Right. Yeah.
They thought they were.
They thought they were, but the evidence is different.
Yeah, they weren't making playoffs.
Yeah, they weren't getting the second round every year.
Washington at least is getting in the second round every year, and they're winning President's Trophies in the toughest division in the league.
Let's talk about Edmonton. The one storyline that always comes out of Edmonton is, well, they better win before they have to sign everybody. And then, you know, it was all they signed Taylor Hall and they signed Jordan Eberle and then, well, now
Nugent Hopkins.
Now it becomes, what's it? Because they now have to sign Draisaitl, and he was their best player. I mean, and yeah. we talked about it, I guess, on Monday about how good he was even against the Ducks, one of the best teams, the hardest to play against. What's it going to take to get Draisaitl signed, and how legitimate are the concerns about the Oilers and the contracts they're going to have to give out?
Well, they're very concerned about it. Like, it's something they have been watching for a couple of years. You know, one of the reasons that P.K. Subban did not get traded to Edmonton was because they didn't want his nine. You know, they were looking at it like, we can't do that with where McDavid's going to go. And now Draisaitl, there's no way at the beginning of the year they thought that they were looking at Draisaitl being the number that he's going to be now. And when you're a team, in some ways, you're really happy to pay that because it says, oh boy, we've got a hell of a player here.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, look at last year. You know, Johnny Gaudreau signed. Monahan signed, 6 years at $6.375?
Yep.
And Gaudreau signed 6 years at $6.75?
5 years, but yeah.
No, I think it was a six-year deal for Gaudreau.
Okay.
Six times 6.75. I think Draisaitl's going to make more than those two guys.
I do, too.
He should. And here's the difference with him and Johnny. The points are almost the same, Elliot, but there was no offer sheet threat for Gaudreau because he only played one game that first year. You got over 40 from Draisaitl. It might not be a real threat, but at least it's some leverage for the player, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, the other thing, too, is don't forget that Vegas can take RFAs.
Can you explain to listeners what that means and how that works?
Well, basically, if you have a guy who's a restricted free agent, and Vegas can pick them.
Obviously, you'd protect your Seidel, but can they offer sheet him prior to the expansion draft? Is that what you're alluding to?
They can take him. Just because a guy is a restricted free agent, Vegas is allowed to pick those guys. They get the rights then.
Right, but they would. But the Oilers would certainly protect him, correct?
Yes, of course. Yeah, of course the Oilers are going to protect him. Absolutely. The Oilers are absolutely going to protect him, but like it adds just another layer of craziness to the whole thing. But
right.
I look at it this way. They're gonna try to get him signed, and sooner rather than later, I assume. And I'm betting it's probably, if it's an 8-year deal or a 7-year deal or a 6-year deal, which I expect it will be, it's gonna start with a 7.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and I don't know why. I just didn't think of it that way. I thought, maybe 5, right?
No.
It's like, and honestly, Elliot, like, we're this close. He was 8th in league scoring. Like, I knew he had a good season, and obviously now we're talking about him because of the playoffs he had.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's already top 10, and yeah, he's going to get more.
So has this CBA completely gone out the window? Was this not the idea to keep those guys under wraps for a while?
Well, it was.
The second contract's a big one. Yeah.
I think two things have happened. Number one, we're seeing a CBA now where, especially now that you can't backload the deals or you can't use backdiving contracts, players are saying, you know what, we're not taking haircuts anymore. The best players are saying, look, you're going to have to pay us big numbers now because, A, you can't backdive the deals, and, two, there's always the threat of losing a year to a lockout, right? So there's no more deals. That's number one. And number two, right, I think what happens is this, now with the increase in analytics, and we're really seeing it in baseball, they don't believe in paying older players anymore.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna give up the money, you give it up in their prime years. And it leads to two issues. Number one, maybe you're paying a guy during his best years, but also, and are you paying them before they can really handle it? So it's a double-edged sword, but that's the battle you take, right? The challenge you take.
Yeah.
Do you think Team C Edmonton is vulnerable and would offer sheet recital, or is it still one of those things we haven't seen it since O'Reilly and we don't expect to see them? I mean, I would understand if Vegas tried it. But do you think it's reasonable or not?
You're going to offer sheet one of the richest teams in the NHL?
Well, it's not about rich. It's about putting a divisional opponent in cap trouble if they accept it, knowing they're going to have to max out McDavid pretty quick, or them saying, well, geez, Vegas is going to pick high the next 3-4 years. I mean, it's at least kick them in the teeth, even if you don't get the player.
Yeah, I think the thing is that I know, first of all, I know a lot of teams think it doesn't make sense to go after the rich teams like that. That's one. And secondly, I think they also believe that if you do it to them, they're going to do it to you. Somebody's going to get you back. Mm-hmm. So I think guys fear more like San Jose has done it. They did it with Hjalmarsson and it got them anti-Niemi. But remember when Vancouver did it with Backes, and then St. Louis did it with Bernier.
Yeah.
So, I think teams worry, okay, we may try this and it may work, but how is some other team going to get us back in the future? I mean,
what are you hearing?
The other thing, too, is also, guys, when do these things not get matched? So they look at them as driving up prices when you don't really get anything out of it anyway.
What are you hearing on Ilya Kovalchuk?
I think he's looking for a team where he thinks there's a chance to win the cup.
And that'll come down to, obviously, Ray Shiro and the Devils would be able to trade those rights and get an asset for him.
Well, there's two deals that have to be made here. Number one, what does Kovalchuk want to sign for? And number two, what deal can someone make with the Devils? And I think Ray Shiro will he'll probably do a hard bargain on it. He'll be looking for a prospect or a pick or both. And if it's a multi-year deal, if he gets 2 years out of it, it probably makes it even more likely that Ray Shield takes a hard line on it.
I'm going to ask you a question that's going to probably maybe be a long question. We're already at 8 o'clock. We've seen Scott Darling sign the trade and sign with the Carolina Hurricanes, and now Ben Bishop. And whether he was coming here or not, I mean, that's to everyone's opinion, I suppose. But the goalie market, he wasn't coming. So where does that leave the Calgary Flames in terms of this offseason and the goalie market?
Well, there's still Pittsburgh. Yeah. And now there are people who believe, and Nick has said it before, that he thinks Vegas is going to go hard at Marc-Andre Fleury. And he sees that as a very potential landing spot for him, which makes a lot of sense to me, actually. And then after that, I think you're probably... I wonder if one of the guys that Tree Living takes a look at and sees if he's available is the backup in Nashville, Saros. He's a name that makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know if he's ever going to play there. And he's a talented young guy. And I don't know if even Nashville's interested in trading him. But, you know, that's a guy that if I was Brad Tree Living, I'd be looking at and saying, okay, now that Bishop's off the market, now that Darling's off the market, I'm not sure if I'm going to get my hands on Marc-Andre Fleury from Pittsburgh or Matt Murray, whatever they decide to do. That might be the kind of guy that I'm looking at and saying, you know what? Let's see what he might be one of the next best options. So he's a guy I would kind of wonder about.
What does a good offseason look like for Jason Botterill in Buffalo?
Well, I think you get a defenseman there. And I think they're going to be looking for a goalie, too. You know, you want to add an asset this year in the draft, they'll do that, obviously. And I think if they can find a defenseman or two and maybe another goalie, they're looking at a good offseason there.
People, last question. are you on a merry-go-round? People are texting in and wondering if you are you at a karaoke bar?
State
or are
Fair?
You...
No, you know what? I'm actually, I'm at a mall. And Steph and I were just grabbing breakfast, and there's that noise of the music in the background. I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was that loud.
It's pretty good, gotta be honest.
Yeah, are you riding one of those coin-operated, you know, little hobby horse things?
Horsey, yeah.
No, but I'm in a fire engine cart, and my wife's pushing me around.
Nice. How's that ever? It's very nice. Have breakfast. We'll talk to you Monday. Thank you.
All right, take care, guys.